Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Matthew 19 and verse 2. Great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Mark chapter 6. Now, we're going to see here what happened Thank you, Jesus. And verse 56, wheresoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch him, if it were but the border of his garment. As many as just touched him were made whole. Now back up in the fifth verse. This tells the story. He was not healing to prove his divinity, because if he was, he failed here at Nazareth. The fifth verse, he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. I mean, it was his will that they be healed. I mean, he went ahead and laid hands on them anyway. And if you look that up, people were sick with minor ailments. No mighty works, no blind, no deaf, no. They wouldn't have anything to do with it. Who does he think he is? He didn't think who he was. He knew who he was. But and we read it over in the fourth chapter of the book of Luke, and we see it. They marveled at the gracious words that came out of his mouth. But when he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears, they got furious. This day? He called himself a prophet. He called himself more than that. He called himself the anointed. We know his mother and daddy and his brothers and his sisters. How can he say that? Every prophet had a mother and a daddy. I don't care who he was. Not too long after, by the Spirit of God, Brother Hagin separated me to the office of the prophet. And I'm a member of our family. Bless his heart. And he loved me. But he said, you think Kenneth is a prophet? And one of the other members of the family said, yeah, I think so. Well, he's our kin folks. Well, every prophet's kin to somebody. Jesus was kin to a lot of people. He's kin to John the Baptist. His cousin. Had a bunch of kin folks. Amen. But that's the devil moving in on familiarity. Hometown boy, why, who could he be? Anyway, you understand that. So that's the only record of that kind, but that's all we need. The people that didn't receive it are the ones who didn't believe it. What did they not believe? They didn't believe what he preached. What did he preach? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He's anointed me to preach, teach, and heal. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, which is supernatural debt cancellation. He didn't want anybody in debt to anybody but him. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And he certainly didn't want anybody to walk off sick. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's Luke chapter 4. I particularly like this one. It's about the same as what we just read, but it's a little more descriptive. Luke 4 And verse 38, he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. Now, this is what we read in Matthew chapter 8. I want you to see something. Luke's writings in the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. Two things. One, he's a physician. So when it came to sickness and disease, he's very descriptive. We'll see it here with this. And another thing, he wrote in documentary style. He questioned people that were there. He questioned different ones. And he was very educated man. And he and the Apostle Paul, he was educated in medicine, and the Apostle Paul was educated in the covenant. And they got along really well. And they traveled together. Saying, wouldn't you like to have been a fly on the wall when they were together? Glory to God. So anyway, we got better than that because we have everything they said. But I want you to look at this now. Verse 38, he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. A great fever. This then, you know, I said something yesterday about it being COVID. No, it wasn't. I think this was more in the order of typhoid. Something is a killer. A great fever. This woman was dying. And with this great fever, they besought him for her. He stood over her, rebuked the fever. He talked to it. You better talk to it. You better talk to it. Talk to that fever. Don't let it get away with anything. I said it before and I'm going to say it again. I've been accused of being in denial. And it's absolutely the truth. I don't deny that the disease exists. I deny its right to exist in my body. I deny its right to exist in Gloria's body. And when the children were young, I could deny its existence in their body. And I remember early on when the stuff like the Hong Kong flu and you know, swine flu, and I'm taking the flu off of hog. I mean, come on, the chicken flu, get out of town. Anyway, and we still lived over there where the big green footstool was. So I called the kids in, they were young. I said, we're going to take our flu shot today. Boy, John's eyes got big. So I gathered them around that big stool and we got on our knees around him. And I had my Bible. I had it open to the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. Be smitten with fever and consumption. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So we went from one to the other. Flu is a curse of the law. But I don't have flu because flu's under the curse of the law and I'm redeemed from flu. And we went back and forth and back and forth. I don't know how many times we went back and forth and back and forth. I said, now you have been vaccinated against the flu. And John went, he wasn't going to get a shot. They never had colds. They never had the flu until they grew up and got out on their own. But even then, Kelly was in high school. She came home one day, and when she got in from school, she said, Daddy, all the symptoms of the flu came on me today. Now, in the past, on television, you probably heard me say this. You've heard Gloria say this. But it just came out my mouth that day. So adopt this saying. So she told me all the symptoms. I said, Kelly, you are not the sick trying to get healed. You are the healed, and the devil's trying to take your health away from you. She stood there and looked at me for a minute. She said, I'll be right back. She went into her room and she stayed in there for a little while. And before supper came, she came out. All the symptoms are gone and that was it. Luke 4:38. He arose out of the synagogue. Verse 39, he stood over her, rebuked that fever and it left her. Immediately she rose and ministered unto them. Now, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases or different diseases brought them unto him. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. Excuse me. He rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, do you see what that said? Our sweet Jesus, our sweet Savior, our sweet healer didn't finish until all of them were healed and it was daylight. Oh, Jesus, he is so good and easy. All you had to do was show up. It didn't make any difference. You're possessed with devils. It didn't make any difference. Only thing of it is the devil cried out. He told them to shut up and get out. They left and all's well. And of course, probably, I would say at least 98% of them were sick because of the devil that was in their bodies. So they were part of the sick. Amen. So, praise God. Now, Luke 6, this also is amazing. Luke 6, 17. And we're just about there. He came down with them and stood in the plain, the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea, Jerusalem, and the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him to be healed of their diseases. And they came to hear him. Not just to be healed. They came to hear. They came to hear. He preached before he laid hands on most people. Now, there are occasionally that he didn't. Like the man at the pool of Bethesda. He just walked in there. But there was only one. That thing was full of sick people. That's the only one that his father within directed him to. So that's the only one he ministered to. But 99% of the time, he did more teaching than anything else, and they came to hear him. Listen, they came to hear. To hear him. Oh. Oh. To hear the Master himself talk about faith. No wonder. And talking to Rick Renner, our Greek scholar, an apostle to Russia, glory to God. And a very, very close friend discussing this with him. He said that it's a settled fact that there was anywhere from 20 to 35, 40, even in some cases 50,000 people following him everywhere he went. This is the reason they didn't even have time to eat and they got so weary and tired. But we don't follow that example because, hey, they only had 3.5 years. They didn't know it, but Jesus knew it. Then they had to rest later. And he told them to rest. Amen. So anyway, they came to hear him and to be healed. They heard about the healings, but they heard about the messages. The woman with the issue of blood had heard of Jesus. Somebody's relaying the messages. And she lived right there in Capernaum. That's where he lived. And he continually came back home. And they had lookouts waiting for him. Here he comes, here he comes, here he comes, here he comes. Glory to God. So, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. They came to hear and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed. Now see, that's what I was talking about before. They were vexed or possessed with unclean spirits, but they were sick. And they were healed, and the whole multitude sought to touch him. For there went power out of him, and he healed them all. Glory to God. Luke 9. verse 10. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. He took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city of Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them and spoke unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Praise God. What did he tell his disciples? Preach, teach, heal, cast out devils, and raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely give. That's your job. Go raise the dead. Well, the church lost that. I've experienced it twice. And I'll tell you right now, it's indescribable. But I don't have time to get into it this morning. Now, I want us to look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. They came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, and blind Bartimaeus. I don't call him blind Bartimaeus anymore, but he was blind at that time. Son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry and say, Jesus! Now, wait a minute. Hold your place. Turn to Matthew 22. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The son of David. Now they already knew. They already knew. He just said, the Messiah. Christ, same thing. The Messiah. Whose son is he? Son of David. This is a key phrase. Watch for it all the way through the Gospels. The Syrophoenician woman, some say she knew nothing of him. Oh, yes, she did. She kept crying, Son of David! Son of David, have mercy on me! She called him Messiah when even his own disciples didn't know it yet. Vital information. Now, notice it again. Verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have hesed on me. He's a Jew. He understood hesed, covenant hesed, the bigger blessing the smaller on an equal basis. David was so disturbed with Hesed because Jonathan had been killed and he was his blood brother. And he was so hurt because Jonathan and Saul were both dead and he's crying, he's hurting, covenant is driving him. This is a picture of God. It's driving him to give. It's driving him to give and to do something for somebody in Jonathan's house. What was driving him? Chesed, chesed. Read it for yourself. Is there nobody left in that household to which I can show kindness? No. Look it up. It's chesed. That to whom I can show chesed. And they said, well, there's this one little fella. He's a crippled boy. And he lives down in Lodibar, which was just a slum area. He said, go get him. You go get him. David had an actual scar where he had made covenant with Jonathan. And listen to what he said. I'm just using my words. That little fella will sit at my table. In other words, he's my family by covenant. And whatever I have is his. Now remember, he was crippled in his feet. You couldn't see those crippled feet under the king's table. He said, I have to have somebody to whom I can show hesed. That's what was happening right here with blind Bartimaeus. And he said, have hesed on me. Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the great deal, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. He stopped him. He stood still. Now, you're about to see something that is a true act of faith. And commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying, be of good comfort, arise, he calls you. And he had on a legal garment. You were tested by the priests. You were actually blind. You were given the right to beg. The man at the beautiful gate had to prove that he actually couldn't walk to be able to be legal for him to sit at that gate and make his living by begging. What did blind Bartimaeus do? I don't need this anymore. Where is he? Don't you love it? What an act of faith. And Jesus saw that, and that did it. And I can just see this next one, and we'll close with this. But now watch this. Notice Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Well, it ought to be obvious, Jesus. The man can't see it. No, wait a minute. No. He saw his faith when he dropped that coat. But now Bartimaeus needed to say it.
You have a free resource to help you study and apply the Bible-based truths you just heard. Download the BVOV Broadcast Study Notes today at kcm.org/notes. Collect the notes from each week and use them in a group Bible study. Use the message outline to teach from. Discuss the scriptures and key points with your family of believers. Gain understanding from all the teachings on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Get the whole week of notes today at kcm.org/notes. God's word is life and healing to me. I am strong. My life is full of God's wholeness and abundant blessings.
Become God inside minded. Think like He thinks. Choose the healing and wellness He has promised you in His word with the Harvest of Health package. This life-changing set of resources includes And Jesus Healed Them All, a book by Gloria Copeland. God wants you well. And Jesus has already healed you, so take hold of His word as your prescription for life and health. The Healing Scriptures CD builds up your spirit in the word. Get rid of unforgiveness, choose to walk in love, and experience wholeness as you listen to anointed scriptures read by Kenneth Copeland. What you plant in your heart grows. The Harvest of Health, a mini book by Gloria Copeland, encourages you to take God's promises and confess them for your healing every day.
It's time to reap a harvest of health. Request your free Harvest of Health package from Kenneth Copeland Ministries at kcm.org/TV special or when you call 800-600-7395. Plant the seed of God's word into your heart and receive your harvest of health. Allow God's healing power to flow into and through your body. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Be sure to request your gift from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, the Harvest of Health package. God's word has life in it. It has the power to bring itself to pass if you'll be faithful to receive or take the word by faith. Now, your harvest depends on the seed you plant, the word you sow into your heart. And it's not just the words prayed that changes things. It's faith-filled words that you speak all the time in your life. Consistency is the key. It's what you say, it's what you do by faith all the time that makes the difference in your life. And the more you put the word into your heart, the more it begins to grow. So don't quit. If you won't quit, you'll begin to see the harvest of those seeds manifest in your life. So to get your free healing series, go to kcm.org. And these products are also available as digital downloads. And remember, if you need prayer, I invite you to call KCM's prayer line. They have licensed prayer ministers trained in the Word of God. When you call, they're going to pray the scriptures over you in faith. And I encourage you, hang on to those. Continue to confess and to put God's Word into practice in your life. And you may have questions about today's broadcast, about Jesus healed them all. Well, call them and have them show you those healing scriptures and then build your faith on the Word of God. The 2021 Word Explosion Military Salute starts tonight, September 2nd, and it runs through the 4th in Columbia, South Carolina. And I invite you to join Kenneth Copeland, special guest chaplain A.L. Downing, Bill Winston, Pastor George Pearsons, and Bishop Herbert Bailey. Get ready. Get ready to receive God's Word. Now listen, if you can't be there in person, you can watch all the services live online at kcm.org. Don't miss this powerful meeting. And then be sure to join us on the broadcast again tomorrow to learn how to walk in love and stay in forgiveness. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time. Until then, remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, go to kcm.org. While you're online, you can also request a free copy of today's broadcast on DVD, CD, or download it to your computer or mobile device. Continue to grow in your faith in God and live in the wisdom of His Word. 2021 is the year of the local church, a year of divine healing, divine health, divine prosperity, and divine recovery.